Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, brought to you every Sunday morning by the C. and Tyler Streets Church of Christ in McAlester, Oklahoma. Be sure to tune in every Lord's Day here on KNED from 9 o'clock to 9:30. We'll tell you more about today's program after the following song.
Deep within my heart today, Jesus lives and He will stay. For I heard His blessed word and gladly obeyed, I have obeyed. That is why I know He lives in my heart and gladness gives. For He changed me and a brand new life He made.
Deep down inside, way down inside, my blessed Lord,
He
doth abide. I'm glad to know, as on I go, He's living
way down deep inside, Troubles from without annoy, but I have a certain joy, and I know it is the Lord who's living with me, Matters not how dark the night, for I have the blessed light of the Lord who gives to me the light to see,
Deep down inside, way down inside, my blessed Lord,
Lady
doth abide, He's doth
abide.
I'm glad to know, as on I go, He's living
way down deep inside, And He is mine, truly won by love divine. For within my heart He lives, and now I rejoice, I have given Him my all, and I answer to His call. And I worship Him each day with heart and voice,
Deep down inside, way down inside, my blessed Lord,
David
doth abide,
He's doth abide.
I'm glad to know, as
on I go,
He's living
way down deep inside,
Sometimes Christians find themselves with weak faith. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord told His disciples that when they worry about the physical necessities of life, they have little faith. In Matthew 6, verses 30 through 33, He says, Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. On another occasion, in the midst of Lake Galilee, caught in a raging storm, the disciples were afraid and they awoke the Lord. He told them that their fear was a sign of little faith. In Matthew 8, verses 23 through 26, Now when He got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us! We are perishing. But He said to them, Why are you fearful? O you of little faith. Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. When we find ourselves in moments of little faith, what can we do? J.R. Refford wrote of his method in his song, When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shades while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering, friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, Hill of Calvary I go to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold His agony, suffered on the bitter tree. See His anguish, see His faith, love triumphant still in death. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice. Isn't this really what Paul said when he wrote to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is there someone that you have been trying to lead to Christ, but they are confused by all the misinformation about God? Giving them a copy of these sermons by Brother Wayne McCamey might be a great way to help them. We will be giving out information for contacting us toward the end of today's program. Everything we offer is free of charge and with no strings attached. We look forward to serving you. We're going to have another song, and then Brother Wayne will present the second sermon of his three-part series on the subject, God Is.
Off the sea of life is surging,
and I toss
amid the gale.
Then I call
unto my Savior.
Blessed
Jesus, never fail.
Safely
through the storm with Jesus,
I am
clinging near His side,
Though the waves
are rough and rolling,
with the Lord
I shall abide.
Once He calmed
the raging tempest,
out upon
Lake Galilee.
Peace be still,
He gently whispered,
and He'll do
the same for me.
Safely through
the storm with Jesus,
I am clinging
near His side, wounded side.
Though the waves
are rough and rolling,
with the Lord
I shall abide.
Skies above
are often darkened,
shadows grave
oft linger near.
Peace be still,
He whispers to me,
I am with you,
have no fear.
Safely through
the storm with Jesus,
I am clinging
near His side, wounded side.
Though the winds
are rough and rolling,
with the Lord
I shall abide.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, we invite your attention to the Word of God, and we are continuing our study in regard to the existence of God. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We believe today that a discussion of the existence of God is absolutely necessary. We're living in some sad times. We're living in times when we're seeing the things that were most surely believed among us, and that is that God is, at least, that God is, and if His word is true, these things are falling around us. We need very much to be preaching the things the Bible has to say about the existence of God. I mentioned last Lord's Day that there was a time in this country when I could go into any given community or city and preach the Word of God, knowing that most of the people there believed in God and believed in the Bible. But I can assure you that that is not the case today. And unless we begin to teach what the Bible has to say on this subject and turn some things around, we are going to see even more deplorable days than we are now seeing. I began this study upon the premise that God is knowable. We can know God, and we can prove the existence of God. I do not believe the very weak position that says there is a God, but we can never really prove that, or we can never really know that. I believe that God is knowable, and I believe that God is provable. Last Lord's Day, we began by discussing the various positions, the position of the atheist, the position of the agnostic, and the position of the Christians. This time we would like to continue this study in regard to what the Word of God has to say as opposed to what the biological evolutionists have to say. Now, some of the foregoing may seem a little tedious to you, but I think these are important things to know when we're talking about the existence of God. When I say that He is knowable and that I do not believe that a Christian's faith is some blind, emotional, subjective leap in the dark, I believe that God can be proved. A Christian's faith may be expressed in a few words. Something is, therefore someone eternally was. I think that that's an argument with which we must deal. And it is indeed something to which a child of God should tenaciously cling. Something is. In other words, God has spoken, God has created in this world. God created the world, something is, therefore someone eternally was. Now, there isn't any doubt today that something is. We are here, the world is here, we are sailing through illimitable space at a tremendous rate of speed. Everything moves with precision, everything is beautifully and wonderfully made, and God does indeed run a beautiful and orderly universe. Something is, therefore someone always was. Now, these things do not just happen to be. But one says, where is the empirical evidence of God? Let me remind you that there are some things that are not based purely on empirical evidence or on observation or on experimentation. That's not the only way to learn. I was reading recently about a court case in which the accepted evidence that turned the tide was based on the doctrine of evidence that is called prima facie. And by that, they mean adequate evidence that is given that cannot be successfully refuted. A culmination of lines of thought and evidence that can run into only one possible conclusion. And I propose to you that this is what you see when you read the Word of God. The Word of God is not a science book, although it never contradicts true science. The Bible is not written as a science book, but there is a culmination of lines and evidences that move into one conclusion. Something is, therefore someone eternally was. And from that, there is no escape. From which came the idea of God? Do we worship God because our fathers and our grandfathers or the ones before us just dreamed all this up? Are we singing songs to somebody and we really don't know whether He is there or whether He isn't? From which came the idea of God? Now, if you haven't had to deal with that, you will. And if you're a young person listening to this broadcast, you are going to be dealing with that somewhere and probably already have. I believe the Bible teaches that the idea of God is innate, that it's inherent in man. One of the things that separates us from the animal kingdom is that we have the inclination, if I may call it so, we have the inclination to be religious. We sometimes really work at being everything else. But there is in mankind an inclination to be religious. Question: why? From whence came the idea of God? I propose to you that that's an innate trait that God has placed within us. On April the 13th through the 23rd in 1829, now think about this, this has been a while ago. In 1829 in Cincinnati, Ohio, a certain Mr. Campbell met Robert Owen, an atheist, in a discussion. Robert Owen came from Scotland, advertised in the United States as the Goliath of atheism, and that he was. He went about the country challenging the religious leaders of the time, and nobody was willing to meet this person because he was quite good at what he was doing. But on April the 13th through April the 23rd, Mr. Campbell and Mr. Owen met in Cincinnati to discuss the existence of God. And if you haven't read that account, you really should. During the course of that discussion, Mr. Campbell asked Mr. Owen, whence came the idea of God? Where did the idea of God originate? Now, it took a while to get an answer, but Mr. Owen finally answered with the word imagination. The idea that exists in people's mind about God is strictly the product of man's imagination, according to the atheist. Mr. Campbell then quoted two respected philosophers and psychologists who are still respected till this day, John Locke and David Hume. The quotations were to the effect that the creative power of the mind amounts to nothing more than the faculty of combining, transposing, augmenting, and diminishing the materials that are afforded to us by sense and experience. Now you think about what he's saying. What these men are saying is that imagination has no creative power. With all the imagination you can get together, you can't create anything. Reason and imagination do not create. Sigmund Freud, the German psychoanalyst, said the only reason that we call upon a heavenly father is because we form that concept from the fact that we have an earthly father. However, I cannot believe in reading this book that the God of the Bible is a God we would create. I'd like to tell you, I would not create, I don't know how I could create, a God like this. I think I might come up with a God of some kind in my mind, but I don't think I could come up with one like our great God. I'd like to read from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 18. The scripture says, What profiteth a graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and the teacher of lies, the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith unto the wood, Awake! And to the dumb stone, Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You know, the Apostle Paul said it so beautifully in Acts the 17th chapter. In fact, I think that's one of the greatest sermons of all time. Paul stood in the Areopagus in Athens, Greece, and spoke to the most informed men of his day, preaching to them about the unknown God. You remember a portion of his sermon? He said, Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, listen, in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He said, since we're the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And then Paul said, The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Will you please notice that Paul insists that God is not like gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And then Paul referred to those things as the times of this ignorance. Here were some of the most learned individuals on the face of the earth. It was to Athens that one would go to learn. That's where indeed the learned went to learn. It was in Athens that they accomplished some of the greatest things of all time, so far as the arts and so far as the things of this world are concerned. And yet those people did not know the great God of heaven at all. And Paul refers to it as the times of this ignorance. Notice then what he said. He said the times of this ignorance God winked at or overlooked, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why is it necessary to call people to repentance? Why are we talking to you today about faith and repentance and salvation? He said, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. I propose to you that the human mind is not capable of coming up with a God like that. If you want to see what kind of gods the human mind concocts, turn to the book of Habakkuk. He said it is insensible stone. It is a dumb idol. It neither sees, nor hears, nor speaks, and there is no life therein. Indeed, the God of the Bible is not the one that we would ever create. The fact is that we are the ones who fell from the hand of this great God. Indeed, he is the creator and the judge of all the earth. We're grateful for your listening today as we continued our study on God Is. And if you'd like to have this series of lessons in regard to God, creation, biological evolution, creationism, all of these things, we'd be very happy to hear from you, and these will come to you free of charge.
As I daily press along, and sometimes without a song, many prayers I pray that I do not see. That's the reason I prevail, when I otherwise would fail. But somebody's been praying for me, yes, for me. Things are different, the rent I know. I have strength to onward go. Since the Lord is by my side to give me sure victory, I could never walk alone. And my courage had alone. But someone had been praying for me, yes, for me.
I could not have met the test. So I did my very best. All alone I would have failed your be.
Now he is my friend and guide. Since he's walking by my side. For someone had been praying for me, yes, for me. I can talk about the Lord. I can tell his holy word. I can tell them how to live good and free. Little glory I can share. 'Tis the answer to a prayer. But somebody's been praying for me, yes, for me.
Things are different.
I could not have met the test. So I did my very best. All alone I would have failed your be.
Now he is my friend and guide. Since he's walking by my side. For
someone had been praying for me, yes, for me. Scenes are shifting, and our life is filled with change. Precious things are drifting, now replaced with things so strange. But the man called Jesus, he is always just the same. And from sin he frees us, bless his holy precious name. He's my hope forever.
He's the one
who leaves me never.
Yes, and
he's the man of Calvary, and he is my everything. He's my only answer for the foe that would devour. And he never changes. He's the man of the hour. Many great deceivers say that time has passed him by.
say believers should no longer to him cry. They have no solution, and they can't deny his power. This is my conclusion, he's the madman of the hour. He's my hope forever,
he's the one
who leaves me never.
Yes, and
he's the man of Calvary, and he is my everything. He's my only answer for the foe that would devour. And he never changes, he's the madman of the hour.
Brother Jerry Dickinson from Texarkana, Texas, will be with us February 6th through the 10th for a Wednesday through Sunday gospel meeting. That is 1 week from this Wednesday evening. Services will be as follows. Wednesday through Friday, we'll meet at 7:30 p.m., Saturday at 6 p.m., and Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 2 o'clock p.m. We look forward to seeing you there. We'd like for you to visit us also on the internet at McAllisterChurchOfChrist.com. McAllisterChurchOfChrist.com. We are posting the programs online, so if you miss one, or if you just would like to listen again, click on Let the Bible Speak. The programs are listed by the name and the date that they aired. We also have some audio and video sermons, several topical Bible studies, and a free email Bible correspondence course. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so from the webpage or send us an email to info@McAllisterChurchOfChrist.com. Info, I-N-F-O, at McAllisterChurchOfChrist.com. Or call us and leave us a message at 918-423-2482. 918-423-2482. Or send us a card or letter to P.O. Box 943, McAllister, Oklahoma, 74502. P.O. Box 943, McAllister, Oklahoma, 74502. We welcome your comments, suggestions, or Bible questions. If you would like to have a Bible study in your home, please contact us and let us know. We would like for you to help us also to let others know about the program.
I love to tell the story.
We appreciate you being with us this morning. I want to invite you to our worship services at 10:30 and again this afternoon at 5. Hope you can come and be with us. Please join us again next week as we continue to Let the Bible Speak.
In scenes of glory, I sing the new song.